Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You know, you need energy efficiency when hosting a podcast, but you also need energy efficiency if you want the most out of your windows and doors. I'm on Pella's website right now. And how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time right there. For more information on how Pella can make your home more comfortable and energy efficient, check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good pals at Runza. We all know about the greatness, you know, of the Runza sandwich, the great burgers, the best fries on the planet. But Runza also has two of my favorite salads, man. The Southwest chicken salad with the spicy ranch, absolutely delicious. And the sweet berry chicken salad. You got dried cranberries popping off fresh greens, a perfect complement of rich feta cheese and walnuts and creamy poppy seed dressing. To top it all off, it is fantastic. Get to Runza today and try a salad. Runza makes it all better. Okay, so with college basketball officially wrapped up and in the rearview mirror, if you missed it, I had a recap of Baylor's dismantling of Gonzaga in the national championship game on my last podcast. You can certainly go check that out. It's on the podcast feed. So with college basketball kind of officially wrapped up and spring football underway at Nebraska, I figured it was time to dive back into some Husker football talk with my guy, Bo Rude. And of course, whenever Bo and I get together and do a podcast, a bottle of wine just finds its way into the equation. So we had to do a wine pod, and we got a little tipsy to say the least, which always makes things very interesting and very fun. So full disclosure, we recorded this on Friday, April 2nd. So we recorded on Friday night, April 2nd. This is a spring football preview for Nebraska. And, you know, we just decided to kind of do a broad position group by position group dive into what we see with each of the positions and what we like and what our concerns. And of course, we end up talking to some big picture things as well. Special teams, philosophical things about, you know, maybe Frost getting bigger, trying to maybe slow things down and not play as up tempo in terms of no huddle stuff and all that. So this was fun. This was good to kind of get back into football talk. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy this. Again, recorded it last Friday night, April 2nd. So let's get to it, man. Wine pod with yours truly and former All Big 12 Husker linebacker Bo Rude. A little spring football preview for your Nebraska Cornhuskers. Enjoy. All right, here we are, and we've established a new protocol. Do we like this new protocol? Bo Rude is here. It's a wine pod. I feel like the people want to like watch the progression of drinking the bottle of wine and watching us kind of get drunk by the end of it. I don't think this is smart that we are now like we are done with this bottle of wine. You have basically not even a drink left. I've been more disciplined than you as we've hung out for the past 2 hours and talked.
We've talked for 3 hours. Because we lost.
My voice is like, I feel like by the end of it, I'm going to be like Doc Rivers. I'm like, gotta get Teray. Gotta get him. It's not Adrian's fault. It's not his fault.
We need Doc Brown to go back in time.
I feel like it's going to be horrible. But
we've spent
what are we doing?
Well, here's our issue right now.
What's the issue?
Is we go too long in between pods.
Yeah.
So when I walk in the door, we reminisce for 3 hours about nothing to do with the podcast, and then we realize it's 9 o'clock now, and we haven't started recording.
It is 9:12 p.m. You showed up at my house at 6:30.
Yeah.
So we have drank a bottle of wine.
It's done. The bottle of wine's gone.
I mean, we've already drank it. It's gone. And I liked, in theory, the idea of like, hey, let's drink a little bit so we're loose before the pod starts. But I'm starting to wonder if we need to rethink our plan with this thing.
I mean, the next time we do it, like, we'll drink three bottles, we'll be sleeping, and then we'll miss the pod.
See, that's the problem.
That's the progression.
You could feel like at the towards the end of like our regular conversation, it was like, man, we need to save some of this energy for this pod here, you know? We're at that point. Well, we're at the point in the night of Hall Pass. They eat at Applebee's. Do we need to put a bow on it?
Yeah, we were already talking about the TV shows we're missing right now.
This is ridiculous. But if I'm not mistaken, so we're recording this on Friday night, April 2nd. And if I'm not mistaken, was today the first day in pads for spring football?
Today was the first day in pads.
Oh, because I saw, I think Ryan Held tweeted, you're not on Twitter, but he tweeted a GIF of Drago and Rocky like eyeing each other down. Held's a big Rocky IV, like any like game day, and it'll be like Rocky on the top of the mountain or something like that. Like,
okay,
Held wants all Rocky IV all the time. Right?
Okay, let me. You know my theory.
What's your theory?
If Rocky IV is your favorite Rocky, what movie is in your top five? You know, I've told you this.
If Rocky IV
is your favorite of the Rockies, I know what movie's in your top five of all time.
Oh, my God. I should know this. You've told me this before?
Yes.
I don't want you to weasel out. I don't want you.
What's the movie then? This is an equation that holds true. Been saying it for years.
I mean, Shawshank?
No.
Forrest Gump?
No, think more Meathead.
What's the biggest Meathead movie?
I got the need.
Oh, Top Gun?
Yes. So
yes.
The equation is, if I talk to somebody, you tell me your favorite Rocky's Rocky IV, usually Top Gun's in your top five ever. That's an equation that
I'm
works.
I'm pretty sure. Now, this might have been Troy Walters that did this. Shouts out to RIP to Troy Walters and his career at Nebraska. But like that would do the – maybe it might have been Ryan Held of when they would – because you know when – so here's what happens on Twitter. I feel like I got to fill you in on like life on Twitter.
What happens on Twitter?
So sometimes when coaches get a recruit, they can't tweet about this specific recruit. They can tweet like some GIF that shows their excitement.
They're excited,
that they got like, and it might have been Held. Whenever they'd get a speedster, they would get the Top Gun Cruise and like high fiving as they're walking out to the jet.
This is a prediction. Okay, I'm not on Twitter, not on social media. But if you go check Ryan Held's Twitter, if he just did a Rocky IV, I think if you scroll down, you're going to see some Top Gun.
I know I've seen Top Gun.
You know,
and
it's Nick.
I was assuming it was Troy Walters, but that doesn't, I don't think Troy Walters was giffing it out like that.
If Held's a Rocky IV guy, he's a Top Gun guy.
You know what your brother does?
Lebowski.
Big Lebowski, the dude hits the car.
He's so... The people that know my brother, just they laugh at that because they go, "Of course he would."
Well, what I love is there's probably these linebackers that follow him on Twitter that are like, "What is what?"
My brother's kind of
Barrett. We need to talk to Barrett. Barrett needs to go to like.
He's cool,
you know,
but he's a dweeb.
Are those Geico commercials about not becoming your dad?
Oh my gosh!
You know, you've seen those, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Barrett. Here's the problem: is everybody thinks Barrett's Mr. Cool. Barrett,
we know he's not.
He needs to go to like a cool teacher and be like, "Okay, Barrett, do we think kids know about the Big Lebowski? Do you think that 16-year-old outside backer that you're recruiting, like, you think he knows anything about the Big Lebowski?"
He's like, "Let's show him a little Grateful Dead." Woo!
You got a little Grateful Dead, huh? You like that? No. Okay.
I mean, but he's been doing that since he was 10 years old. Me and you have been giving it to
just
him,
just crushing him. You know, everybody's like. I think I heard Damon one time. He's like, "Barrett, you know, is like the Mr. GQ cool guy." And I'm like, "Oh my God.
We've been giving it to my brother."
Now he knows. He's got the flow. He's got still got the good hair going.
He got the hair.
He's got the sunglasses. That guy's sunlight sensitivity. He needs to go to like, that dude has to have sunglasses. It doesn't matter what time of day. It's like that dude's got to have sunglasses on.
Yeah, just, I think those coaches, they all kind of wear
sunglasses. They got to do that. But how did we say, Rocky IV, because it's the first day in pads.
That equation holds, right?
Hey, time out, though. Side note. Did you see Creed? Did you enjoy Creed?
And Creed 1?
Tread lightly.
I never watched Creed 2.
Creed 2.
Creed 1 was good.
Creed 1 was a fantastic movie.
Creed 1 was good.
I mean, it's fantastic.
Rocky was sick. Creed took care of him. Gotta like it, right?
And I kind of like that it, like, the way it in, it didn't have, like, he lost to Ricky Hatton.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, people haven't seen Creed. But he loses to pretty Ricky Hatton. Like, it seemed to make sense. Like, I like that they did it like that.
Yeah.
But Creed 2, I enjoyed Creed 2 because I like the, I mean, it's very Hollywood-y.
Creed 2 went more towards, like, Ryan Held's like, can I direct this movie? I got some ideas.
Dear Sylvester Stallone.
Guess who's coming back?
My name.
Ivan Drago had a son. I've got a script for you. It's going to work like a charm.
Oh, I almost caught a cramp in my hammy. Oh boy, that is. If we went through Ryan Held's emails, would there be an email to sylvester.stallone at gmail.com recommending what to do with Creed 2? But I'm just telling you that I am drinking coffee this morning. I'm like, oh, we got a Drago Rocky gif, and that means it's the first day of Pat. So that means spring football is in full swing. And even though we are kind of wrapping up college basketball, you text me, like, we need to do a spring football wine pod. Because there's a lot. This is a crucial, critical spring.
Well, because remember, this is a huge spring in the sense of we did not get a spring last year. So this is the first, like, off-season of development that 2 years worth of players are going to get. So, yeah, I'm actually, you know, it was nice to have a little football break, I think, because it was just, you know.
Anxiety was high.
It was just a long, it felt like it was like just, we waited so long to the season, there was a disappointment. To have a little break, I'm refreshed now, and I'm excited to have Nebraska football back.
Do we want to start, I mean, do we just want to dive right into it, or do we want to tackle a couple of other things before we dive into it? Do we need to dive into it before we get too out of our minds?
Let's dive in, because the wine's official, it's going to be done. Now,
so the problem was, you and I were sitting here and trying to be like, how do we want to structure it, man? And I think in some ways it's just best to go position by position, and I think that will cover it all, and then we'll have some big picture questions at the end of this thing and try to get you out and get out of here. But do you want to start with the quarterbacks? You just want to get into the juice right away, even though they're not necessarily, that's not necessarily the biggest question mark on the offense. Well, let me ask you, your answer to this question will be where we start. The biggest question mark position-wise on the offense is?
Running back.
Then let's start at running back. What stands out to you when you first think about the running back room heading into spring ball?
That we don't have a clear even one and two. I mean, we don't even have two guys in the running that I feel like I know. I mean, we've seen three or four of the really young guys that just got to, but I don't know that any of those guys are going to be the guys that play, and I just don't have a good feel for the transfer for Sevion Morrison, or I did actually hear that the young, there's a freshman kid out of Georgia that's like a mid-year guy. That looks pretty good.
An early enrollee?
But, like, still, I mean, it's a true...
Right.
The kid should be, like, gearing up for prom right now, right? So, I just think that position right now is... It's very important because that's the one of the missing pieces of our offense. And I just feel like right now it's like, what the heck are we going to do?
In some ways, I feel like the more I've thought about... You know, you think about, okay, what has gone wrong the first couple of years? And I think in some ways, everything could get traced back to the running back spot and the inability post Divino Zigbo to find a guy. Well, really, Divino Zigbo had to be the guy by kind of like because Greg Bell didn't work.
Yeah.
And so it's crucial because I'm glad you said it. Like, I don't think, as much as we kind of ripped on the wide receivers all season and questioned that, like, I actually think getting the, if you could ask me what position would I want to be the best for the, give Nebraska to be the best chance to win, like, I actually think this running back spot's the most important. If you, gun to your head, you have to guess who's the day one starter. Is it Stepp, the USC kid?
Stepp or Morrison? I
what's Sevion Morrison's like running style? Like, what is he, a
slasher? He was a good high school player. You know, he ran for a lot of yards. He was fast, but you know, he's not like a not really a lateral guy. He's like a slasher home run guy.
I mean, because
Stepp's got some power. So I would say, gun to my head, Stepp.
I think that'd be my guess. I don't know anything about, but that's what this speaks to, the critical nature of the position, where it's like you're grasping at, like, think about it. We're naming it. We're saying it's going to be Stepp, and the guy's never.
No, we don't have anybody that's had 10 carries in a game.
Right.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no question that this spot, though, is, and this, to me, this position group, and the hard part is, like, I think there should be, like, we should preface everything with, like, we all don't get to see practice. All we're going to base things off of is, like, reading between the lines of quotes from the coaches, yeah, and then one spring game. How much does that paint an accurate depiction of what's really happening? I don't know. I guess, real quick, did you ever feel like, and I don't know how much you were paying attention to, like, what SIP and people were writing in the paper, like, did you ever feel like there was something being depicted that was happening in spring ball that was like, that's not really how, like, this guy's playing great or this is going really well, and you're like, no, not really. Did you ever feel like that was?
I mean, they kind of make stories, and it's always something, but usually it's when somebody actually makes a jump, that's usually when they start reporting on them, right? When somebody that you don't know of is, like, right, running with the ones all of a sudden, like, you know, then it's a story. But, I mean, that's natural. I don't know. I don't think it's like they're making up stories that don't exist necessarily. But practice is still practice. Like some things don't always translate to games. So it's like sometimes you got to temper your, like, oh, this guy looked really good in spring ball, right?
But there is something to, like, you can't use it as total gospel, but, like, you can tell by listening to the way the coaches talk to the media.
That's it, right?
On who's playing well, who's not, what's going on. You know, like, I just always remember, and he's obviously not on the team anymore, but, like, I do remember when Maurice Washington got to practice, it was like you instantly, like, heard, like, this dude is, like, home runs, making people miss, like, electric speed. Like, I do hope at some point over the next month we are hearing something about either Sevion Morrison or Stepp or someone, like, some guy being, like, emerging as, yeah, really playing well.
Well, it's something that's kind of hard, I think, for people to wrap their mind around always is sort of this, what development actually is. And we live in a world where, you know, like, basketball is all one and done. Even football starts to feel more like there's a lot of these ready-made guys that come to the big schools. But it's still like some guys take 3 or 4 years before they sort of pop. Right. And that's the part that I think you have to keep in mind is, it does take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Spring ball, like, just the act of it, a lot of guys get better. But the guys that you kind of have written off for a couple years, they finally get, like, big enough and strong enough and understand what they're doing to finally, like, do some positive things they couldn't do before. So that's the part that
I'm glad you're saying this. I think this is an important thing.
It's develop. That's what development is.
Yeah,
like,
because
it takes time.
We are all so guilty of it, of, like, if a freshman, like, for instance, I think he's going to pop, but, like, if we don't hear anything about Thomas Fedoni immediately, by this time next year, Fedoni would be kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, which is weird, right?
And again, I think Fedoni, like, we'll get to the tight ends at some point, and I think Fedoni's going to make an impact this year, but I'm just using him as an example.
Yeah.
Like, we'll write you off fast, and there's a non-negotiable level of athleticism and strength that goes into being able to play, especially certain positions at, you know, the Big Ten level. And so for some guys, it takes time. And so I think what you just said is an important thing for everyone to keep in mind. We want to write all these, you know, I mean, listen to who we've talked about. We're only talking about the two new guys at running back.
Yeah.
And Sevion's not new, but he didn't play last year.
But still, he's a redshirt. Like, I just remember even being like a red shirt freshman and sophomore, and there were just moments where you're like, you were just not quite strong enough, and it just was a little bit harder. And then 2 years later, you're a junior and senior, and you're just, you feel stronger. You feel, it's just so much more, it's easier to just digest everything and to read the play and to understand what you're supposed to do quickly versus right. like thinking about it. It takes years of development. And I don't know that we give the proper due to, like, it takes a couple years.
Do you feel like all your big jumps as a player happen in the spring? Or when does that big jump happen? Or is it not like that? Like, you don't have to answer. Like,
it's legitimately the off season. You hammer out hard workouts all winter. You work on the fundamentals in spring, get better. Then you spend all summer like hammering hard workouts, and you look and you feel different in those, call it 7 months of just like you're just absolutely like building up your body, and then the season you play and like kind of like break it back down, and then you right, rebuild you it bigger, I mean, break it down a little bit more. You know, it's like that's the cycle. And but like, God, remember you're coming out of high school. Like, do you remember how strong you were in high school? You weren't very strong.
No,
it's like there's this base level of like I'm a closer to a fucking a man now. Sorry.
Well, but the one thing, if you know, sticking with the running backs though, the one thing that I do feel like typically pops relatively quick is running back.
Yeah, close. Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
That's the only thing of like, I think it doesn't render what you just said irrelevant, because I think it's important to keep in mind at a bunch of other positions. But I feel like running back's the one position that I would say it's pretty rare for a running back to be a late, like pop later. Because in all reality, Ozigbo popped later, but like, he still wasn't the starter initially.
No. Yeah, we always talk about running backs kind of either have it or you don't.
Yeah, because you got Ramir Johnson, Marvin Scott, Ronald Tompkins. Like,
one guy's injured. One guy was kind of small. The other guy was Scott. I don't know. We'll see what Scott's about.
I just would say my again, and you don't want to – I don't want to – fall victim to just writing these guys off, but I do feel like I'm yet to be wowed by any of those guys yet.
I just haven't got to see, like, getting to see these guys play will, I think it'll help to see these guys play if you like in the spring game,
right?
Or you get to see a
practice. Oh, no question. Like, that's,
I want to see these guys.
I can't wait for the spring game, because I do feel like just watching how like there's a lot of stuff you can't take away from the spring game, but like, you can watch how running backs just move in a little bit.
Exactly. You can, by the way they move, you can say, ooh, yes or no.
Yeah, like, ooh, he's got some pop. He's got some, again, I talk about this all the time. Like, it took one carry for Amir Abdullah, one carry for Rex Burkhead, for you to go like, that guy's really good.
Yeah, with like, we'll watch the spring game and our offensive line will learn nothing. I'll tell you that right now. Right. We'll just be like, I can't tell. Yep. But the running back, the way they move, you'll go, okay.
Yes. Anything else with the running backs?
Nope. Let's move on.
Wide receivers, because I would say that's the next big question, right?
That's the funnest topic, probably.
Well, okay. Is the guy that we anointed as the next Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, greatest of all time, is he ready to finally live up to the potential?
Well, I think
Omar Manning.
I believe we then wrote him off and said, don't expect to ever see Omar Manning again. But Omar Manning is still here. And Omar Manning is practicing. And that's a good thing. So,
I mean,
I don't know. I don't almost want to jinx it by saying anything else. I think the fact is, the Omar Manning is practicing, and that's a good thing.
Okay. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes.
I have no doubt that that guy has skills. From everything I've heard, when he was out there, dude's got skills. And so I think it's just a matter of letting that guy stay in the program, get some confidence, and then once he gets some confidence to, you know, be out there full time, You know, I don't even know what, you know, kept him out, but he was out.
Right.
And
yeah, the great mystery of.
But, you know, it was a short year. You know, those are all things.
It was a weird year. I mean, it was a really weird year.
I think you just write last year off as weird and say, okay, let's let this guy get through a spring and see how he does.
But it's, I mean, the reality is, I think we're probably hoping and needing for two guys that didn't catch a pass last year to be to hit. And yeah. That's Manning and then Turay.
Yeah. And all indications is Turay's been looking, I mean, I think he's going to be like, people are pretty high in him right now, like in a genuine way, not in the hype way that I think we had with Manning.
Well, I mean, again, I think you and I talked like, there is an element of taking junior college production with a grain of salt.
Should.
There's an element of taking high school production even with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Now, even though Turay was at the FCS level, that's more legit than JUCO.
If you're an All-American at that level, you are legit, period.
I mean, I think I've told you, like, watching Last Chance U on Netflix, that they actually did a junior college basketball team this year, which was hilarious, and just riveting. But during junior college football, I mean, you just got to, I mean, some of these guys are like, cover, what, were we in cover two? What? Huh? What are you, like, it's just, so it makes you realize, like, oh, so-and-so's roasting a secondary that doesn't even know what is happening. You know, so, but typically, at the FCS level, guys know what's happening a little bit better. So I think you can take his production without, like, you can, like, you know what, that's legitimate.
I take his legit. I take that as you can transfer from any school that's not like a powerhouse school and be like, that guy produced at a good school.
Well, okay, what about Betts?
Tons of promise. Got in the field last year, should be better than last year, which is nothing but a positive. I mean, I look at this receiver group and guys like Betts as like, okay, like the receivers were not good last year, period. Right. But Betts was one of our talents. He was a highlight and he'll be better. This Oliver Miller, I think people are kind of high on. And I think the dude just jumped like four, like got some really impressive.
Is he like kind of freaky?
Yeah, I think he might be. And so that guy, they were saying in the paper, which was interesting, he's like, he didn't even really get to practice and like came in, didn't know the offense and sort of still played. So he'll get an actual offseason to know what he's doing.
Because he's the Iowa transfer.
Yeah, Michigan then Iowa.
Yes.
So he was a high-rated recruit. I think he's got a lot of talent.
But
actually,
like, that's where those weight, like, I saw those numbers and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had some guys put up some like all-time good testing numbers, which tells you it's like, okay, we got some guys
right.
that can are comparably good athletes.
You know, I mean.
But yeah, so I'd say Betts, Miller, Turay, and Manning, right? Those are four guys that.
Martin and Manning, you mean?
Omar Manning, Oliver Martin.
Turay
and Betts.
Yeah.
So you got four guys that all have the potential to help. We basically, you know, we're going to be reasonable. Let's say we're going to count on two of these guys to make it this year. That's an improvement off of last year.
Where do guys like Wyatt Lever and Levi Falk, like, are they your, and I don't mean this to be like your grunt receivers, your pop pass blocker, like what's their role?
Their job is to come in and be able to not dominate, but not have it such a letdown where we can't throw when they're in. They need to come be an option, actually, and they should be able to.
Right.
So I think those guys just got to be they got to be efficient and they got to be able to actually spell some of these guys. Like, let's say the two of the four I mentioned that are like the guys that we have high hopes for. If two of those guys can actually like be the guys, then these other two guys or of those other dudes, they all got to be able to like spell them and just make it like keep some continuity in there.
How many, what's a good number of total wide receivers you need to have? To feel good about heading into the year, like
five.
Five?
I mean, I would like five because you, I think you saw last year, we'd have times where like it was either run down or throw down. And you look at the receivers and you'd be like, well, that's we're running L. or we're right. throwing.
Well, so I mean, okay, so Martin, Falk, Lever, you got Teray, Betts, then you got Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Omar Manning. So was that six?
Six. And then,
Alante Brown.
Alante Brown and Will Nixon. Will Nixon is a coach's kid. His dad used to coach at Baylor. I like coaches' kids.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid was good in Texas. So he'll be sort of the Wandale replacement if he has those skills.
Okay. Yeah, because he's 5'11", 185 is what
he's like a running back hybrid type. So he's a kind of a wild card, but he could be a real help because he's a different skill set than those other four. Alante Brown, I just kind of don't know. I know he's fast, but I don't know what he is.
Right I don't now. Either. Do we feel like do we feel like Teray is going to be the leading receiver?
Teray right now they're playing him in the slot, which I kind of like. Oh, it's he's a little bit taller for the slots we've had, and I think he'll probably be the guy that gets the ball a lot because I think he's a really good route runner, and I think he understands the game. And in that slot position, you're going to get a chance at the ball if you know how to get open. And okay. I think he's going to be that guy. I think Manning and Betts are going to be the guys. Stretch the field, go up and get the ball. I think Teray is going to be the guy that knows how to get open anywhere on the field.
Well, I mean, the one thing I will say about Betts is if, there's that whole, pass the eye test that, they look – that's how it looks pretty good. Like, he looks the part.
He's got it.
He's got the look. Anything we're missing with the wide receivers? You feel
we got
good
it.
About it? Nobody we shortchanged or didn't? I mean,
we were reasonable this year. We anointed last year. We anointed.
I think I wrote when I did my most indispensable Huskers. I think he was number two.
He was two.
I think it was Martinez, and then it was Omar Manning,
and it was Wandale.
Sheesh.
That's how our season.
That's
went,
embarrassing.
Though. That's our season, though.
Well, in some ways, you know what? Maybe I was right. The season didn't go well because he didn't even.
If you were indispensable when you got dispensed, we got dispensed.
See? I think if anything, maybe I was a genius with that stuff. All right, let's take a quick break from the podcast to talk about White Castle Roofing. You know, one of the best decisions I've made was calling White Castle Roofing when my roof had some hail damage back in the day to my old house in Omaha. I needed experts. I needed people I can trust. That's White Castle. White Castle Roofing made the entire process so easy and so smooth, and they did a great job. They communicate every step of the way in their crews. They're knowledgeable. They care about the details, and cleanup is a top priority. So if you need experts, you can trust White Castle Roofing is the answer. In fact, I'm dealing with a leak in my roof in my new house, and you know who I called immediately? Of course, White Castle. Ben from White Castle came to the house last week, took a look at things, and we already got the ball rolling on what to do next. When it comes to your roof, you need people you can trust, and trust me, you can trust the good people at White Castle. Check them out, whitecastleroofing.com. White Castle Roofing, built with trust, proven by time. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my friends at Runza. There is nothing better than hearing from an old high school football teammate like my former offensive lineman Brett Altman on Twitter, where he went out and he tried the Reuben Runza and loved it. That's what I'm talking about, baby. And my dad, my father, he got his Reuben Runza game right. He gave it two thumbs up. Again, Reuben Runza is available at all Runza locations. It's everything you love about a Reuben wrapped up inside the greatness of a Runza sandwich. So make sure you stop out to Runza, try the brand new Reuben Runza. And speaking of Runzas, don't forget that every Runza is made to order, meaning you can add anything in the kitchen within reason to add on a Runza. Since everyone starts as an original Runza, you can add pickles or ketchup or ranch, whatever. It is up to you. So whether you get a Reuben Runza or get creative and add something to an original Runza, you know it's going to be delicious. So head out to Runza today. And while you're there, tell them your buddy, your pal, Nick Baugh sent you. And the Nick Baugh Podcast is brought to you by my friends at Pella Windows and Door. You know, when it's time to get a new set of windows or a new door, you got to go with Pella. Why? Because they can provide window and door solutions to any home. They can turn your window and door remodeling dreams into a reality. And Because the people are great. Vince and Steve and Clint and Brian, the whole gang, they are all fantastic. And you know what else is fantastic? Knowing that you're going to be working with Pella and only Pella the entire time. Do you realize that when you work with some other window companies, all of a sudden questions pop up like who's going to install it? Who's going to pre-finish it? Who's doing that? And before you know it, you're working with like four or five different people. Oh my God. Ugh. You want the convenience and simplicity of working with one company, not three or four. That is Pella. Check them out on the web, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. Back to the podcast. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. You know, is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for me, you know, this COVID and this pandemic certainly can mess with you mentally. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. And there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you're going to get a timely, thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. You can visit their website, betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com. And there are amazing testimonials posted daily. Here's one I'm reading right now from about Norma. It says, been my therapist for over a year and has changed my life. Another one right here. She is nice and understanding to talk with. She made me feel heard and safe to open up. I'm very grateful for her and everything she's done for me so far. I look forward to the future. There are just thousands of testimonials just like that. So visit BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. And we got a special offer for my podcast listeners. Enter the promo code at BetterHelp.com/NickBahe. That's N-I-C-K-B-A-H-E. Just enter the promo code NickBahe, N-I-C-K-B-A-H-E. You get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com. Okay. You want to go to tight ends?
Nick,
I
got my jeans on. Showing off my tight end.
Heinies. Okay. Should we just get right into the second coming of Antonio Gates?
I think we should actually.
I'm joking. I'm gassing everybody tonight.
I'm gonna
gas up everybody because it's Kool-Aid season.
It's Kool-Aid season, but I would tell you to.
No, don't you dare tell me
that
not
packet
drink Kool-Aid.
Of Kool-Aid. I would hang on to it until summer.
So what am I supposed to? I'm just supposed to drink water.
You're gonna drink water. Austin Allen. Okay. Travis Volklek. Couple of tall glasses of water.
They are some tall glasses of water.
But
dog.
this is a really, if I were to say, the most sturdy. The most linebackers and tight ends are probably our most thoroughly top to bottom sturdy positions.
Feel great.
On the team.
Like, yeah. Like there's a lot of things when Scott Frost goes to bed at night and he worries about things. Like I would think tight ends and linebackers are not high on that list.
Yeah. So you've got Allen who's 6'8" and he's got experience and he's pretty good. Volklek 6'6", strong. I think he's solid. And these guys are only going to get better. Those two are going to get better. And then you bring in the freshman that's, you know, got all the talent. But I think people need to also temper, like, he is still a freshman. So I predict any freshman, like even Fedoni, I think even Fedoni will be like, they'll have spots. Okay. He'll come in and they'll throw.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm excited about him, but I don't know what that really. If someone says like, well, "What does that mean, production wise?" Or I don't know. I don't know
Let
what
tell you,
to expect.
He's 6'5", 220, which means like, can you block on the line? I'd guess it. Like, he's probably a year or two away from being comfortably being able to block on the line, which means you don't get to play as much as you.
Well,
should.
Like, look, Volklek is an inch taller and 40 pounds heavier,
and you have to block guys. 6'7", 300 pounds. And if you're 220, Nick, he looks thin. He is thin. So he'll be, I think he'll have a chance to play. Yeah. He'll have a chance to play in one of those like kind of split out positions. Playing on the line right now, it's tough for a true freshman.
Because even Austin Allen's 6'8", 260.
It just takes time. You gotta
okay, because that's what I was going to ask you. Like we talked earlier about like that strength element. Like tight end's probably one of those things for blocking, but what about the ability to route run and pass catch? Like
I think
how do you see that?
He'll eventually get to that, but even that, you got to learn the offense, got to get adjusted
to speed. It sounds like he's picked things up pretty fast.
I think he's getting there. The coaches are even said though, I saw in the paper, they're like, you know, it's still going fast for him. This is he kind of is, even him is like, wow, this is going fast. I wasn't ready for this sort of speed. So it takes a little bit for that speed to slow down.
Right.
So we'll see how he develops. But I think people that they think he's going to like be all Big Ten this year. Like, if he's a freshman and he can play, that's such a success.
Okay. This is good. I didn't know. I mean,
I would temper.
He's like on the list. If someone said, like, rank the five things you're most excited about for next season, like, I think I'd put – I'm excited. I mean, Fedoni's number one tight end in the country. Like,
yeah, but it's also like that's a position –
I'm just saying that I'm excited about it. Like,
I think that's – he's a guy that we should be, like, to the moon excited that he's on our team.
But it just takes a little bit.
I would say the first three games of the year, I wouldn't expect him to be, like, playing 60 snaps.
What you're saying, though, is ultimately Austin Allen and Vokolek are the guys.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to be able to play every down.
Okay.
I think Fedoni is going to be spot used, would be my guess, until he gets a little bit more strength and experience. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how fast he develops. He's got skills they don't got, though.
Right.
I'd say that. He's got talent that they don't got right now.
It'd be fun to see him in the spring game, though.
Yeah,
Watch him move. And because there sometimes, okay, does some guy look like a freak because he's a, like, you know, there's the context of the other 21 guys on the field.
Yeah.
You know, like you watch highlights of Fedoni and you're like, holy shit. Like,
yeah,
he looks like the biggest, the fastest, I'll be interested to see if he still has got that pop and that holy shit to him on, even in the spring game.
Yeah. Will he be able to go get the ball, run by people? You know, that there's a lot of confidence that goes into that. So
sure.
It's going to be fun to see how he adjusts.
But so you feel really good about the tight ends.
Tight ends are solid.
Okay. Yep. Anything we're missing with tight ends?
Nope.
QBs,
AJ Martinez, behind that, who knows? But we'll save that for another time.
Do you want to say QBs for?
Yeah, I mean, Adrian, we know Adrian.
We know Adrian. Well, okay, but time out though. Let's not gloss over Adrian for a second.
Are you concerned?
Let's not just. I mean, he needs to have a good spring, really good spring.
Yeah,
like we don't want to fall. It's weird. I mean, we're Ross and Rachel pretty bad with Adrian. I mean, the guy did lose his job, but then he got it back. But I think as the dust has settled from the season, I've talked myself into being like, I just do this every year. It's like, it was everybody else's fault but Adrian. Like, you would almost think like Adrian is actually my like long lost son. Like, I went to Fresno 20 years ago, had a whoopsies. And Adrian is my son. Because, like, I'm sure you feel like I just kind of always make, I don't know if excuse is the right word for him, but like,
he was good
two
enough.
Two straight years, yeah. I've made excuses for his performance.
I think that he had a good enough freshman year that we saw real talent. He's had some really, really up and down moments for two straight years.
Yes.
Up and then very down, very just
Heisman candidate to benched.
But you know what? Like, I think the issue with him this year and why I skipped was like, it's his job.
Oh, yeah. I'm not this isn't a conversation about him getting
We know what he is, and we kind of maybe know what he isn't. But that doesn't mean, I mean, his freshman year was good enough that we know that, and a little bit more maturity is what he could be, right, which is really good. But we don't think he's going to win the Heisman either. That's what we learned now.
He's a four-year starting quarterback. This is his fourth year.
And you know what?
We should feel great about that.
I feel comfort in that. I feel comfort in at least that we have a four-year starter. Like, I'm not worried about a lot of things because of that. Like, I hope he improves, and I hope he kind of finds the whatever that it factor is that he need to get back. But, like, I also, like, I feel fairly comfortable, too.
Yeah. What is it you feel like if you had to pick the one thing he's got to get better at?
Timing.
Okay.
Timely mistakes and getting his throws off in a timely fashion. Like, whatever rhythm is and whatever, like, having a sense for the moment, I feel like he's had some, the Iowa games, the caller, like, he was timely in the worst way.
Yes.
Like, he didn't understand when you can't throw a bad pick, can't fumble, when you can't run out of bounds. Things that you kind of go, like, there was something missing with, like, a timing thing, an instinct thing that I go, what's he missing here, right? I think he's a good kid. I think he does. He's doing everything right. There's not a lot I don't like about him as a person. Like, he just seems like he's very composed. Like, but he just needs to. There's that next thing he's got to find.
Yeah.
That maybe he'll have it. Maybe he won't. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it has something to do with timing and instincts and just like.
Do we think it's a good thing? Because sometimes having someone breathing down your neck is good for you. And then sometimes, I don't want to say it can be bad for you. That's not the right word. But sometimes when you know it's your job, there can be a level of just settling in that could be good. But at the same time, I think he's had two times where Jebbia and him were battling or whatever. Jebbia leaves. And then by all accounts, like, you know, in terms of after his freshman year, Frost even said it, that he kind of let his guard down a little bit.
Yeah.
So my question is, like, I wonder if with Luke now leaving, you hope that, and you would assume that he's already been through this to a certain extent. Like, yeah. That he doesn't let his guard down a little bit.
I think he's going to be a senior. I think that's got
to. Yeah, the urgency has to be there. And the fact that, like, I think a part of letting his guard down was the hype. I don't think it was as much of like, I'm not going to get no one's going to beat me out. It was more of like drinking your own Kool-Aid.
It's hard not to, when people call you a Heisman, like, you start thinking I'm a Heisman, like,
right.
It's hard not to. I'm not as worried about the no competition thing because he went through so much last year.
Right.
And he's been through a lot. I mean, the dude's been through a lot. He's played a lot of football. So that's where it's like the guys that have played a lot of football, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's going to prepare this year.
Okay, so then I mean, you could make a case, like, before you came over, I was writing down players who need to have a big spring. And the third name I wrote down was actually Logan Smothers.
Oh, because we don't have a backup quarterback right now.
He's got to have a good spring. Because, and here's the thing is, you know, sometimes you won't know, we won't know for sure. Well, we will know. You know how we'll know? Is if they decide to go get a quarterback at the end of spring ball.
It's going to be telling.
I mean, now, you could make a case that you need to go get one regardless. You could make that case.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, if let's say Smothers goes out there and has a great spring. They probably won't get one. So we won't have to do too much guessing or reading between the lines of quotes from coaches or whatever or even over analyzing the spring game. Like, we're going to know what kind of a spring he had based on the decision that the Frost makes with bringing another quarterback. But they need, because Martinez has gotten hurt every year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, history shows us that Logan, if the season started tomorrow, Logan Smothers would probably have to start or play significant time at some point in the season.
Martinez has never started. I mean, he's missed at least two games every year, right?
Yeah.
In 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
At least. So I'd say that's.
So it's important. It's important for him.
I would say count on that.
Feel good about QBs?
QBs.
O-line. Good. Then we'll go over to the defensive side of the ball. You know, it's I like that Greg Austin has kind of put, he even said this last year, he kind of put it on them of just like, you know, doing the whole thing like we don't have any excuses, like it's time to produce, yeah. Like all that stuff. Do we feel good about this offensive line? Because I would say like last year I wouldn't say I was brutally disappointed in the offensive line, but I was a little disappointed in how the offense, yeah. I thought the offensive line would be a little better than they were.
Yeah, I think, you know, one play stands out in my head, the Iowa play. That play, I think, summed up their year, which it was just a little disappointing, right? That's disappointing. I don't think they were bad. They just weren't good either. I think they're going to be solid. You know, they still got some young guys. I think these two tackles, Binhart and Cochran, are really good talents. I think they're probably both a year away from being dominant players.
Right.
So I think they're going to be okay. Now, here's an interesting tidbit that I read today that I think that you'll have some thoughts on. So they're changing the way they practice a little bit. Greg Austin was, I think, really campaigned for this is, they practice freaking really fast.
Right.
And I think that these offensive linemen were having a bit of difficulty. They were getting so tired and the plays were going so fast that they weren't they weren't sticking on blocks and going finishing plays. So they're slowing down their practice tempo, which is essentially like it's a little bit of a philosophy thing. Like we're going to slow down a little bit because we're bigger and we're going to block a little bit more. So give me your thoughts on that. They're changing their philosophy.
Well,
but
I would love to have Frost here to answer this question of like, are you? You got to make sure you can walk properly before you run.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a slowing down to make sure that you get solid? Did they try to go 100 miles per hour before they were capable of going 70 miles per hour? Does that make sense? Like, do they need to get on the highway before they get on the interstate?
So what I'm saying,
do you see what I'm saying? Like,
I see what you're saying, but I guess what I'm more getting at
is it
that, or are they saying, look, now our tackles are, our guys are bigger, our receivers are bigger, our running backs are bigger, our tight ends are bigger.
Yes.
Maybe we're just not going to be a fast team.
Well, because I think Frost has even said as much in one of his press conferences of like, I think it was either Sam McEwen or someone asked him like, hey, it seems like there's been a concerted effort to get bigger. And he said, yeah.
You know what happens when you get bigger, too? You usually get a little bit slower.
Right. It's a trade-off, usually.
Nick, I remember distinctly when I got to New England, like, you know, we ran a 3-4 two-gapping scheme on defense. And I came from, like, you know, college where Pelini and everybody was all about, like, speed and running. And I remember the coaches just saying, like, look, like, we make the wall and we don't, you know, we're not really running everything down. Like we're right. it was understood because you're big, you're not going to be running as much. And I was like, oh, like this is just a philosophy thing.
Right.
Like we're not just these like speed demons out there with everything's predicated on just like speed and movement. And that was the Oregon offense. I mean, the Oregon offense, UFC, it's like, it is
fast, 100
miles an hour. And, you know, like, are we shifting to a slower but bigger and more physical offensive tempo?
I would say it looks. I would say based on your personnel and look, who you've gotten.
Look at our receivers. Look at our line. Look at our tight ends. I'm just thinking.
Even
it's like,
steps a bigger back that you're bringing in. Like, yeah, like, and I don't think that's the worst idea in the world.
I don't either.
I mean,
but it is like it's something we gotta.
But
I think
but it's
we gotta
I mean
keep
that, but that's a big
on.
Deal. I mean, because there's the infamous line of we're not gonna adjust to the Big Ten. The Big Ten's gonna have to adjust to us. Is this a little bit of Frost adjusting to the Big Ten?
To me, that's going to be the big question is, and I don't care either way. I really don't. It's like, but I think it's going to be interesting to see, is that going to be the case? That's a step, the way you practice, because like I said, when I got to New England, like the focus wasn't on running to the ball near as much as I was used to. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, it's not that they just were lazy. It's just like, they're like, look, that's just not really what we're built to do. Well, and I was like, oh, I guess that's a philosophy thing to a degree.
Yeah. And I think
it's
also.
It's not lazy. It's just different.
Yes. But I think sometimes, like, just say it out loud. Like, Nebraska has a team that has been penalty prone, turnover prone, lacks playmakers on paper right now.
Yeah.
In a conference that is pretty big and physical. Would all those things that I just laid out lead you to believe, like, yeah, let's go fast? Like, probably not. Because the faster you go, maybe that's where the penalties and the turnovers creep up a little bit. And the faster you go, you better have the offensive firepower to play like that.
Yeah, I think fall starts, you can – the speed at which you play, I think fall starts make a difference. The faster you go, the more it impacts fall starts. I think you have more. There's some benefits to going fast, though. Like, the defense then doesn't have a time to set. The defense gets tired. They make mistakes. That's part of that philosophy. And I get it. I've played against teams that when they go fast, you're like, geez, this is tough, right? But the things that we're trying to correct, I can understand Greg Austin going like, all right, if you want to see improvement from me, this is what I need, right? So he's lobbying to get a slowed down practice a little bit so his guys can get better. But that's also, then it's like, okay, how much are we going to just shift practice versus our in-game philosophy?
I feel like as you're saying this, I feel like I'm having like a eureka. Schmid once said, I just had an apostrophe.
An epiphany for me.
But if you think about it, Nebraska, since Frost has been here for 3 years, has been a team that has been sloppy. They've been not great with the details. I would say they've looked like they've lacked a little fundamentals. The mental part of the game feels like it's been lacking. Well, is some of that, because some of that has to be traced back to practice on some level. Yep. And is some of that because they're going so fast, is it harder to coach the details, coach the fundamentals, coach the little things, coach the sloppiness when you're just on to the next play and you're go, 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 go?
That's, I think you can afford some sloppiness when you cause havoc on the defense and you're gashing people. The sloppiness is a part of it. The problem became is like
you're
the last few years,
scoring, right.
We weren't gashing people. We weren't scoring. We weren't keeping the chains moving. Where those problems become less when that happens. When people are like stopping you and you don't have the playmakers and you're not like, then those things add up and it's just like, I don't know.
Because I agree with that, but do you see what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if...
Oh,
Nick, I remember,
I think you're right.
I think I remember... Right. I don't know if it was your brother that said this when he first got to Nebraska or if there was another coach that basically said they go so fast in practice that they actually have to do most of their teaching and coaching in the film room.
Yeah, they go fast.
So, like, you know, it's... You know, play comes... You didn't read the right guy. You blew your assignment. Some coaches are like stop it. Hold on. Everybody get back to where you were.
Yeah.
You got to jam number one. Get under number two. C3. And in that order again. Line up again. There's not as much of that.
You want to go to freaking edge rush camp right now?
Oh,
don't you?
I want to teach it.
You want to teach it edge rush
Run
camp?
Run the room and derail. All right. I don't know, I'm Chris Farley when I'm doing that, but that makes, like, I don't know. It kind of like hearing that, it kind of makes sense to me.
It's what's funny is, like, I get the go fast, like it doesn't mean going fast is wrong.
No.
It's just the, like, going fast is very intentional. I watched them do it at UCF, and it worked like a charm.
Right,
they went so fast, and they were so effective.
Right,
the defense has never got their play calls in right. They got so much BS easy yardage just from being fast, right? But then they made mistakes, of course. They made lots of mistakes. And it just didn't matter because they'd score 50 points and the other team would score 37 and they'd win every game.
Right.
And they went 13-0. And it just, like, so happens the Big Ten has better coaching and better players. And
they
just
don't quite have the guys right now to...
I think you got to be a little bit more talented, especially in those skill positions.
I don't know. Like, this all makes so much sense.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever understood this might be the wine talking, and it might be the fact that it's 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, but I don't think I've ever understood the first 3 years
Greg
better.
Austin saying, I needed to slow down for my blocking. It's opened our minds to go,
I'm
okay.
Like, oh, it all comes back to that. And I think we're saying the same thing, but different elements of it.
Yeah.
You're saying going fast and the sloppiness that maybe ensues with that is all fine when you are scoring a lot of points. And my point is, because I agree with that, but then my point is, like, when you're going fast, you're probably omitting and looking past some of those things in practice. And so then they pop up in the games. And yeah. So maybe just by slowing practice down, because that's all. It's like, how do they get them? How do they make that kind of mistake? How do they do this? How do they do that? Well, I bet in practice this shit is going so fast that it can look a little sloppy at times.
It is. Now, so here's the conundrum, though. Here's the conundrum. If you slow down practice, it's harder than to speed up in the game.
Yeah,
because
I don't think
you don't. You got to practice how you play. So
you cannot slow in practice and then think you're going to go
fast in the game.
So I think this pretty much tells us what this season's going to look like right now.
So this is what's hard. Is like, okay. So I don't know. So this is where it's. I'm curious to see how they actually are going to pace themselves in games, because, like I said, I think it's hard to go away from fast in the game. Fast. Like,
I don't think you can do that. And that's just me. You would know better than I, because you played football at a high level. But, like, I just know philosophically from a sports standpoint, if you have a very distinct thing that you do, which playing fast is pretty, like, a distinct thing that requires habits and day in and day out, like, that's something you can't just not do Monday through Friday and then Saturday be like, all right, now we're gonna, you know, get off 88 plays. Like, it just doesn't really work like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I read that in the paper. I haven't seen it. Maybe it's like only a little bit, but yeah. It's something. It's definitely a slight change in mindset.
Okay, let's go over the defensive side of the ball. We are so, me and you are the worst.
Are we bad?
Oh, I mean, it's 50. We said, what did we shoot for, 45 minutes? It's 54 minutes in, and we're just getting to the defense.
Okay, we're going to do the defense in 10 minutes.
Done. The defense in 10 minutes, that's what you think
10
we can
minutes
do?
In defense.
Well, but it's a bunch of returners, so there's not, like, necessarily a bunch of question marks.
That's why it's easy.
Okay, here's my biggest question that I wrote down for you before I chilled this bottle of wine. Do you like that I do that for you, though, that I put it in the fridge for a little bit?
Yeah, it's nice.
So here's the problem. If, like, we had a waitress right now, and they came here like, you guys want another wine? I'm like, yeah, I do.
Two bottles, please.
Okay. Who's the best? This is the first thing I wrote down about the defense. Who's the best candidate on the roster right now to become the pass rusher? Because I think that's still the biggest. Like, there's a lot to like about this defense. It took major strides. It returns, how many? 9 starters? Is that what it is? I don't even. Yeah. Like, there's a ton to like on paper about this defense, but the good news is they're all coming back. The bad news is that they're all coming back, and that means that the one thing that's not coming back is a pass rush. Is there someone that jumps out at you that went to Nick Baugh pass rushing camp and didn't tell anybody?
Nobody has gone to Nick Baugh pass rushing edge camp, to my knowledge, and can turn that corner.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I just wanted a quick check, see if you had heard.
No, I truly, that's the position. I don't know
right?
that
like,
it's there.
I feel like that's it.
So what's sad is like I don't have an answer because I have yet to
I couldn't
it.
Even muster up. I can't even like try to just name a guy.
There's three guys that could potentially play Payne, Tanner, and the young kid Gunnarsson are the three guys with the talent to maybe do it. And I don't have a feel for him. Payne, I thought Payne was getting better last year. I kind
of
like him.
I thought Payne got better by the end of the year.
Tanner's played. He's got, I mean, those guys can play. So Tanner and Payne, you can put out there. I just don't know that they can get the job done day in, day out. Like win a game for you. I think they can get you a sack here and there, but like.
So is there, because I think everyone's excited about the defense. And I mean, again, I am. But is there a ceiling to how good this defense can be because they still lack this one element?
A little bit. I mean, you can't be elite if you can't rush the passer. That's just period. They have to be really, really solid all across the board. If you can't rush the passer, and then you have to blitz more, you know, there's trade-offs, right?
Yeah.
If you can rush the passer, it's just everybody's lives gets way easier. Coverage gets easier. You can double team. I mean, it's just different.
But we feel good about the D line though.
Yep. Stilly Daniels. Remember your boy Snacks?
Yeah. My boy Snacks. Hit the showers. Get a snack.
Hey, Snacks. Hit your shower.
Heck of a job today, Snacks. Here's a snack.
Here's a Twinkie for you, Snacks. Good work. It's third and seven, Snacks. I got a ho-ho in my pocket. You know what you get. Get to the quarterback.
Okay. All right. Third and seven. That's how they entice Snacks to get after the quarterback.
We like Snacks.
So okay. Well, who's
Ty Robinson too?
Casey Ty. Rogers, Ty Robinson.
Those four and Riley, those guys will all, they've got experience. I feel comfortable with those four or five guys. Linebackers.
Yeah, let's get to the backers. Hey, how good's the, what's the kid's name from Northern Iowa?
Kovalerik, maybe. Solid. They got four guys, maybe five guys at inside linebacker that can all play. So, I mean, inside linebacker is going to be
like is he shown well so far?
Oh yeah, solid. The problem is like they got Honus. Reimer's probably the stud of the group.
I love me some Reimer's, boy.
Reimer's got game.
Yeah.
And then Kovalerik and Henrich.
So
they got four, and then and Snodgrass is even, he played a little bit. So I mean they got five guys that can play. And there's two spots. So, you know, that's a good
great.
Sign. JoJo's JoJo. We know what he can do. This two safeties back. Deontay Williams. He's the one that had the freaky testing
performance index, right? Didn't he set the record for pro agility?
Yeah. He.
Holy. I mean,
yeah.
Whoa.
So he is a guy that.
I mean, that's nuts to me.
I think he could make a bit of a jump this year and actually be pro potential.
Well, all I know is that. When I had Barrett on before the season started, because we know Barrett, like sometimes you can tell, I could tell how he talks about certain guys, like, yeah. Oh, you like him. I could tell he has been high, because correct me wrong, didn't Deontay Williams get hurt the first game of 2 years, of 20?
That was a big blow to 2019.
Yes.
He got hurt the
Sneaky
whole secondary.
Underrated. Yes. But all I know is he's been high. I think the coach has been high on him. I think then the injury, he became kind of like, people forgot about him. And then football is not a game of, you know, testing, but like, I don't know, like the setting a record for the pro agility is like, okay, you're freaky.
Yeah. And I think getting another year back, getting some experience, you know, he was a JUCO guy, but I think these two safeties have had a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And I think Cam Taylor-Britt, arguably our best player.
I was going to ask you that. Is Cam Taylor-Britt the best player on the
team, maybe. The team. Probably. Yeah, I would say probably is. So that's, I think him coming back, if we can keep him healthy, that's such a big boost to that, to our team, because a cornerback makes life for defensive coordinators so much easier, because you can kind of just trust, you might be able to say, just guard him and the rest of us will zone.
Right.
You know, so that's huge. So the secondary, I think the starters are good. The backups, I don't have as much confidence in right now. They just don't have any experience. But inside linebackers are good. D-line's good. Defense should be solid. I'm not going to say it's going to be a killer D. I don't think until you can rush the passer.
I think, like we said, unless you can rush the passer, I feel like there's just a ceiling to how great you can be.
Yeah, four
but
guys.
This, I'm very excited. I thought this defense took massive strides last year. And the fact they're all coming back is exciting.
Yeah.
Is there anything with...
Last thing
is... Do we got to talk about special teams?
Special teams have, I've heard, have already are improving.
And why do we think that? Is it just because... Well, first of all, do we like Dawson's got the title of it?
Dawson's the title of it, and Frost is in it.
Yeah.
Frost is in it right now. He's involved.
Okay. I mean... I can't even count on
every game.
First of all, every game, and then every pod, we talk about special teams.
It's been unbelievable.
You could make a case. The one area that is going to send Nebraska to a bowl game or not next year is special teams.
It cost us two or three games last
year,
which is crazy to think about.
And when you and I did, in a month or so, we'll have to fire this back up. Husker Classic Recap's coming back.
What?
That's exciting, right? But, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah.
But that was one of the things that was the most, that jumped out about watching those old, great Tom Osborne teams was, special teams were awesome.
We could punt. We could kick.
Oh, I mean, I gave Darren Erstad, the player of the game in multiple games.
I think you may have been a little overzealous with your stats.
You didn't you telling me that in the Miami national title game, me giving the punter the unsung hero of the game is a little much?
I think I have.
Could it be that I one time played against him in a golf tournament at a course in Lincoln, and he had, have you ever seen one of those guys that got those Oakleys that you can't see their eyes at all?
Oh, yeah.
Machine.
That dude, I've watched him swing once on a hole I was on, and he hits like 400. I mean, he swings like he's hitting a home run. I mean, so he takes a cut.
So it was at Firethorn, and we got in the Quest, and or in the Derby. Sorry,
yeah.
And so basically, like a playoff hole for people like that. And I was teeing off, and Erstad was on the tee box with me. He was teeing off. Erstad, I've never seen a person like this is where it's like you don't like you understand why guys are major league baseball players for a very long time, and like the velocity on his swing was violent. Like it was like it almost took my breath away.
I thought he was joking. Like when he swing, I was like, that's your joke swing, right? That's like that's what you're doing when you're showing off at a party. No, that's his swing.
And he hit this bitch on a rope dead straight, and it seemed like it went 500 yards.
That's what I mean. It looks like it went 400 yards.
It was unbelievable.
John Daly over there.
But okay, so special teams, though, is...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't... It's hard to even discuss, like... It's just like, it's just got to get way better. And you and I have sat down here and drank 10 bottles of wine and be like, well, what you got to do is this and that. Like, you just got to get better at it. You just got to get better at it. It's got to be a priority. And I think the fact that they have kind of, they've been de-pantsed on special teams for 2 to 3 straight years now, where it's like, you got no excuse for it to not be at the forefront. Cause like I said last year, or when I think there was a part of Frost that thought the special teams issues all went back to the, oh, we just didn't have a kicker. Remember 2 years ago when they had to have a lieutenant kicker and all that stuff? Like, you, I think that cast such a big shadow over special teams that you felt like, well, as long as we get the kicker figured out, we're fine.
Because then we got a kicker.
Because we got a kicker and it's fine. And what you found out is way deeper than that, and it was way more problematic than that.
Yeah, there were some details that got exposed.
Yes.
You know, giving up a couple
punt. Yeah.
The fake punt, bad kickoffs. Just the amount of times we just like, they'd bleed out to the like 40 on. I mean, it was just a lot of like, we just didn't look like we had guys out there that were like, could do the deal.
Totally agree.
And I think we got enough talent that we should look.
Well, and
the
I
right
like
way.
That Dawson. I mean, I think it's got to be good that Dawson's involved. It's got to be good that Frost is probably, you know, taking a closer look at it. So you were right. At 1 hour, 6 minutes. We went 12 minutes on the defense. Close. I would have lost a bet on how long we went on that. Do we have anything else in our spring football preview? I'm not sure what. I mean, that was pretty, you know. I mean, it was kind of a drunk spring football preview.
Because we were 3 hours post drinking.
We got to be better at that. We got to have better discipline. Next wine pod.
We're going to pour at the start of it.
I think we
one
probably
drink.
Have to.
One drink.
One, well, but like, we were really bad. I mean, this was the worst one. We were basically drank the bottle of wine before we started.
I'm like hoarse now.
Oh, I'm struggling. What happened?
We talked
for four straight hours. Yeah. I mean, literally, you came over. It's 10:18 now, and you came over at 6:30. My wife is probably like a little help upstairs with the kids. But
my wife's 8 months pregnant and doesn't know where I'm at. I didn't tell her where I went.
Well, let's get you home. Let's get you home to your 8-month pregnant wife, and I should go upstairs and help with my two kids, okay?
All right.
All right. Cheers to Husker football.
Adios, amigos.
Adios, amigos. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet. Great burgers. Cheese Runza. Delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.